piece of glass. Amen. Let's just bow our heads before we go. Let's go before the scriptures. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you here this morning. We're thankful, dear God, for this opportunity we have to come out. We thank you, Lord, for this fine building, Lord, which you've allowed us to have, to where we can come and assemble, dear God. And Lord, we can fellowship around your word, and we can come to hear from the voice and the mouth of God. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that we have this one place, dear God, which we have dedicated to you, Lord, to where, Lord, there's not other activities going on in here, just those of ourselves, dear God. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I thank you this morning, dear God, for, Lord, each and every one that you, Lord, have helped to make it out today. I ask God humbly that you'll help me to yield to you, Lord, that each one that has made it out, that somehow, Lord, I could be a blessing to them. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we about got a full house this morning. It's looking good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, and you're very familiar with this chapter. I want to start reading at verse 47, but you're very familiar with this chapter. It's about Abraham sending his servant to go and get a bride for his son. And he said, you know, swear to me that you'll not take a bride of these people around about us, but go back to my kinspeople, go back to where I'm from, take a bride for my son. And so that's what this chapter is about. But I want to go to this portion to draw from it a thought. And that thought I'd like to title this, Who is My Family? Who is my family? Genesis 24, verse 47. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put an earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right of way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceed from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brethren and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire to her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said to her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Amen. The Lord bless you. You're seated. Just taking a look at this portion of the scriptures, this was a stranger that had come to them. this is a stranger that had come unto them. They didn't know him. He had come from one of what from his master's house seeking a bride. He told them the things that had happened and transpired, how he had prayed and said to looking and try to find the right one. He wanted the one that God had chosen, one that God had elected to be the bride of Isaac. He couldn't just be anybody. Even though he made it back to this particular land, there had to be a particular person. And here she is, she's faced with a stranger. The family, they didn't know him either. And here he comes and he tells them the word of the Lord, which they receive it as being from God. But now it comes to a point to where it's time for them to go. It's time to depart. It's time to go and be joined unto Isaac. It's time to go and hear her mother and her brother say, let her stay with us a few more days, like 10 more days, let her stay here. And I want to interject here, they had a love for her. Laban loved her. She loved Laban. She loved her mother. But she was being called. She had been called in because why? She was elected to be Isaac's bride. When, you know how the scripture says, for this cause of let a man leave his father and mother and go and cleave unto his wife and let the twain be one. When a man goes from his father and mother and he takes the wife, and contrary to what some people try to use the scripture, she also leaves father and mother and cleaves to her husband. Then they are family. They are family. I love my mom and my dad. But there's nobody in this world. And my mom, she gave birth to me. My mom raised me. But there is nobody in this world that knows me better than Mina. No one knows me better than she does. I was only with my mom 18 years. I've been with Mina, well, we've been married 33 years, but we were engaged a whole year before we got married, so we've known each other for 34 years. And when I left, when you go and you get married, what are you doing? You're doing it to start a family. I had, in my mind, I had goals and ideals about having a family. Mina and I, before we married, we talked about having a family. We talked about how many children we wanted to have. We discussed these things. And then I had things like where I'd saw, growing up, I'd saw the way my mother's family was and how they would gather on Thanksgiving, how they would gather on Christmas, how they would gather to eat together. And when the whole family would come in, didn't matter, didn't have to even be a holiday. If we came in to visit and other of the family that didn't live there came in, then everybody would come in and the whole family would get together. And I'm going to tell you something. There wasn't no fussing and fighting. But with the Browning family, it was a lot different. Some of them couldn't get together without drinking. And there it wasn't always things being in one accord. The things to be talked about was not the things of the Lord. With the Browning family, and I loved the family. I loved my grandmother and my grandfather, but at the time I'm speaking to you of, neither one of them were serving the Lord. And so there was only so much fellowship you could have with them. There was not very many things in common that we could talk about. Now, you say, well, you were just a little boy. I'm not trying to say I'm special. I'm not. But being a Brownie, I could keep my mouth shut. So I would tell my papaw about the Lord. I'd try to get my papaw to go to church. I'd tell my papaw he was wrong. See, I couldn't keep my mouth shut. That's the things I had to talk about. Even being a child, those were the things I had to talk about. What was going on at church? What we were doing? What was the people, the believers doing? That's what I had to talk about. I remember in grade school, junior high, and that, and even high school, in high school, I had some people, I guess I called my friends, but there was nobody. I never had a friend that I ever went to school with that I invited to my house. Why? Because there was one thing I didn't have in common with them. Friends, and I know I've done a lot of things wrong, but the one thing I can remember telling the boys that I was with when I was a junior and senior, I said, I'll never marry one of these girls out here, these worldly girls. I said, when I want to get married, I'm going to the church. And they would ask me why. And I said, because I don't believe I can trust a one of these girls out here. They go from one boy to the next, and the boys go from one girl to the next. But I had a way that I'll tell you this. In one school, my best friend was Eshai Erickson. That's Brother Ray Erickson's oldest son. He and I are a year apart in age. When I was a senior in high school, he was a junior. We went to school together. And that was my best friend. I went and stayed at his house. He came and stayed at my house. We went around. We done good things and we done bad things. That was my best friend. And that was the closest friend I had in the world. And I'll never forget the times we had together. Miles and things of life have separated us by distance. But when you get the two of us and we get back around each other, you can tell there's always has been a bond between us. We got so close, we got closer than just best friends. We got like brothers. And we got so close, there was people who started saying, you two look alike. And you two look like brothers. Even people we went to church with that knew us and knew our families said, you two look like brothers. We hung out so much, I guess we started to in some way or another, have enough favor that we looked like we could have been related when we weren't related at all. Not even, I don't think if you'd go back, you'd have to probably go back to the time of Noah to find us up being related. But to get back to what I was saying, I saw how my mom's family, their last name was Brown. And I saw how the Brown family was. And listen, I love the Brownings. But there was a difference. Because there wasn't any of them that were actually serving within my immediate family, my dad's brothers and sisters, my dad's mom and dad, none of them were serving God. And some of the others, why, they were church members. But on my mother's side, while I watched, you know, I never saw my grandfather when he wasn't serving the Lord. There was a time he had to come to the Lord. God had to save him, but I never saw him. And during that time, all I ever saw him and all I ever knew of him was him serving God. And I seen the way he had his family and the way that his family loved him. And the way that they loved my grandmother. And I saw how that was. And that's what I wanted in a family. Now, Thanksgiving's coming up. Thanksgiving's coming up. I'm not making a trip to Ohio. You say, well, you got family up there. Yes, I do. But I got more family down here than I got up there now. I got family down here that can't get away and can't leave. If I went, probably be going by myself. But I've got a family that's here now. And that family, I started that family with Mina. It's our family. Now, Rebecca, and I want to move along from this because I've got more to go to. Rebecca was going to Isaac to start a family. And what she had to make up her mind when they asked her, she had to make up her mind, who was her family? Was she going to this man that she didn't even know, with a man she didn't even know, to a man that she didn't even know, to start a family of her own? Or was she going to be drawn by this and say, well, hold on, this is my family here. If he wants to marry me, he's going to come live over here. You know, some people get married, and even after they're married, their spouse doesn't become their family. They'll count their child as their family, but a lot of times the spouse, be it woman or man, a lot of times, when you get to, they'll get to talking, they'll say, well, my family, and you find out they're talking about their brothers and sisters and their mom and dad. You marry that individual, they're more family to you than anybody else in the world, or they should be. Look, I've got faults. I'm a human, I got faults. My wife, I'm blessed, she has some faults. But you know something? I don't want to sit around and hear somebody else talking about them faults. If my mom and dad started bringing up her faults, I'd stop them right now. Why? Because that's my wife. That's my family. Me and her, you understand that? We're more family. I feel more family with her than I do my own mom and dad. I don't know if that makes sense to y'all. Hallelujah. And now as the bride of Christ, I feel more family with him than I do any of the Brownings or any of the Browns. And when it comes to that, I'm not going to stand with the Browns, nor am I going to stand with the Brownings. I'm going to stand with God. And I'm going to stand with the people of God. Turn with me to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3 and verse 31. This account's also given in Matthew, by the way. But there's something about the way it's worded here in Mark that I really wanted to pick up on. It really was attracting me. Be honest with you, the first scripture I put down when I was going was the one in Matthew. But then as I read the one in Mark, I said, no, this is the one I want to use. Mark 3 and 31. Then came his brethren and his mother and standing without, and sent unto him, calling him. So here they come, his brother. And you know, his brethren were children that Mary and Joseph had had after Jesus was born of Mary. So these brethren, they had the same, they came from the same incubator. They, and that was his brother. So here his brother and his mother comes. And they're calling to him. But the thing is, it's like he, when you remember the time when he was 12 years old and Joseph and Mary went off and they forgot him? And then they got a distance out and they realized, my goodness, he's not even with us. And they turned around to go back after him. And what did he say when Mary came? He says, I'm about my father's business. And he wasn't talking about Joseph. What was he doing here? He was about his father's business. And they came and they called to him. Now, many of us, if our brother or our mother came and called to us and we were going about doing something, we would say, hold on now, I'll be right back. My mom, my brother wants to talk to me. He didn't do that. You follow me? You know, when my mom's family would come to visit us, sometimes they would be coming in, and it would be a church night for us. And they would be coming in from West Virginia, and they would be coming in on that particular evening while we were going to be at church. My mom, my dad, or me never, ever, even not even one time, stayed home to greet them when they got there. If it was church night, we went to church. And there wasn't cell phones back then. They would either wait in the driveway until we got back home from church, or if mom ahead of time would tell them, hey, I'm going to leave a house key in a certain place for you. Y'all go on in and make yourself at home. We'll be back when church lets out. Looking back on it, I'll tell you this, friends. What a testimony that was. That's a testimony. What means more to you? Your earthly family? Or being in church? I know, listen, friends, I love my earthly family dearly. But they don't come before God. I love my wife, but she don't come before God. I love my children, but they don't come before God. Boy, it's awful quiet in here. I think people are wondering, where am I going? It must be the subject I'm on. Let's go back to the scriptures. Verse 31, Then came his brethren and his mother standing without and sending him, calling him. And the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered and said, who is my mother? Who or my brethren? And he looked round about them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. Those that do the will of God. So here Jesus is telling us, when it comes to family, the family of God comes before earthly family. Friends, I know this might come as a shock to some people, but you're not going to heaven to spend time just with your earthly family. I know we want them all to go. I know we want all of our kids to go. We want our relatives to go. But the sad truth is, they're not all going. It's their choice, not yours and mine. If it was my choice, I'd make all of them go. But you can't. Everybody has to have their own choice. And they choose whether to be part of this family or not. And the thing about it is, you say, well, what if they want to be part of the family? You can't join this family. Who's our family? Esau and Jacob, the family I was talking about that Rebekah went to go and start with Isaac, was Esau and Jacob. Now we read about Esau up to a certain point in time within the Bible. Then after that, we read about his descendants and how his descendants withstood the descendants of Jacob. His descendants and Jacob's descendants did not look at one another as family. And yet Esau and Jacob, we were brothers from the same, the Bible, you know, anytime the Bible mentions something and gets right down to it and wants to get, and then there's a point the Holy Spirit is wanting to get across, he'll say it ever so plain. And he says this, being of the same father and mother. Were they not both from Rebekah? And yet the scripture says God loved one and hated the other one. God looked at one and said, he's family. God looked at the other and said, he's not my family. Why? Esau made a choice. Esau made a choice. Listen, friends. Esau, as well as Jacob, had been instructed on who, when it come time to get married, who they should marry. What people they should marry among. But Esau made a choice. He didn't want to be part of that family anymore. He wanted to go his own way. And he went and married women of the very people that he was told directly, don't marry from them. He didn't go and marry some that were in a gray area. You understand my meaning? It wasn't like, well, I didn't know you was talking about them. No, he was told directly, don't marry among them. Esau was choosing. When Esau rejected the birthright, that was Esau making his choice. He didn't want to be part of that family. Because if he was to remain part of the family, then he had to take the birthright and be the spiritual leader and be responsible for the spirituality of the entire family. But he didn't want that. Esau, listen to me, friends. Esau didn't want God. Esau wanted to do what he wanted to do. Hope everybody's hearing me this morning. This thing ain't being cooked up out of the mind of Jerry Browning. This is right here in your Bible. Who is my mother? Who's my brother? For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. Who's my family? That's what he's saying, talking about. The Lord's talking about, who is my family? The ones that do the will of God. In Matthew, he says, the ones who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The one that doeth the will of my Father. So there, Jesus is saying, this is my Father, therefore I'm of his family. Remember? Brother Branham said, he said it would come revealed to him that he wasn't the son of Charles and Ella Brown. He said, I'm a son of God. When we're born into this earth, we come and we're born of earthly people. But that doesn't have anything to do with your spiritual election. That's just God chose those vessels to bring you into this world. Brother Branham says, how many remembers Brother Branham saying all babies, if they die, go to heaven? How many remembers that? In one place, Brother Branham says this. He says, I don't care if they were born of the two most evilest people in the town. He said, if they die as a baby, they go to heaven. You catch that? He didn't care if they were born of the two most evilest. He said, God don't care. They're born of the two most evilest people. Why would God choose the two most evilest people to bring that child in? I don't pretend to know all the mind of God. But I know this, for everyone, God has a purpose. Remember where he talked about offending one of these little ones, said it'd be better a millstone be tied around your neck and you cast in the sea to offend one of these little ones. But then he goes on, he says, but the offense must come. You know, I often wonder when a child passes, you looked at it and you realize every life has a purpose. Pharaoh. Bible says God raised up Pharaohs to serve his purpose. Pharaoh had a purpose. And I think when a little baby dies, what purpose could they have served in that little bit of time? And the thing about it is, friends, you may never fully understand. There was a purpose they served. You may look and say, they were just a baby. How could they have served any purpose? Let me ask you this. Are they still remembered? Are they still in your mind? Is there anything about your life that you can say is different because of that one, that child that passed? Amen? I don't mean just different because you're missing them and they're gone. I'm talking about, is there something different in the way you look at things or how you think? Is there something that has been changed? You are affected. I don't care if they died, they were born, took a couple breaths, and died. You were affected. Lives were affected. Sometimes there's babies that die because the mom and dad ain't being good mom and dad. They do something to it. You say, what purpose could it serve? They had an opportunity. They'll never be able to stand on the day of judgment and say, God, you never gave me an opportunity. They had an opportunity. Hallelujah. How could a mother, we read about these things in the news, and how could a mother go and have a baby in some public restroom somewhere and leave the thing? How about the babies they found where they've been thrown out in the trash? Y'all know you've read about it. How could a mother do such a thing? She chose. I don't want this baby being part of my family. I've known married couples in the message have children, and then one or the other of them, and right off an example I can think of, it was actually the mother, left her husband and left her two babies because she wanted to go off with some other man. Left her babies. He finished raising them. And you think, how could a mother do that, walk off from her two babies? She chose. She didn't want to be part of that family anymore. And if she kept them two babies, she was still going to have to deal with this man who she didn't want to be family with anymore. Why? Because she didn't want to serve. She didn't want to believe this message. She didn't want to continue in this message. And she had been raised in a message home as well. I debated on whether to say this or use this or not. But I feel led of God to go ahead. I don't know whether he ever listens to any of the messages that's preached from here or not. But I got a son. Y'all all know him. Or most of you do. And he's my oldest son. Not my oldest child, but my oldest son. And I love him. I love him dearly. I miss him. He called me on Friday. And we talked for 1 hour and 52 minutes. Why? I love him and I miss him. But you know something? He had come through here to visit. And I don't know on which time that it was. He came through here twice. Once going to Florida and once coming back from Florida, going back to Utah. But I did find out because Nate happened to be at a gas station and ran into Jack. And Jack told him that one of the times, I don't know which one, that John had made contact with him to take him out for lunch, or take him out to eat. And one of the things they talked about was whether the message was right or not. And actually, the words John said, John asked Jack, he says, how do you know if the message is right or not? In myself, I wondered, why in the world did he look him up? Why did John look up Jack just to tell him that? What help did he think that was going to be to Jack? No help at all. All it was going to do was enable him, help him to stay out there where he is in a lost condition. Look, friends, when I go to visit, like when I went to visit in West Virginia, if I go to visit anywhere else, maybe there's things that, maybe they don't see what I see. Maybe their eyes haven't been open to it, but I don't discourage them from going to church. I recently heard, never even knew this, but I recently heard of an individual, this has been some years ago, after they came to the Lord and came to this message, they wrote a letter back to some other folks, and in that letter they said, the church you go to is a whore. How much of a witness for the message you think they were? Not at all. That wouldn't be a good witness. Just cause all the material don't get made into the dress doesn't mean that that other material ain't no good. You can make a pocket out of it or make a hanky out of it or something. Brother Ram, talking about, and you all know this, and I'm just going to say it quickly. Brother Ram talking about Abraham and Lot, said Abraham was a silver dollar. In God's eyes, he said Lot was a penny. He said, but don't throw Lot away. He was still in God's economy. And Brother Ram said in another place, he says, God's got silver dollars, but he's also got quarters and dimes and nickels and pennies. They all belong to him. If I was a penny, I wouldn't be able to help that that's what I was. You follow me? But I'd want to be the best penny I could be. I'll tell you this, friends, if you went into a store and something cost you $5.26 and you had a $5 bill and a quarter, you couldn't pay for it. Penny's awful important then. Look. Here's what I'm getting at. I'm not trying to say anybody's lesser than the other. That's not really what my point is. What I'm saying is this. A person can only see as much as their eyes have been opened. Don't go around. You don't know. Don't go around condemning them. I'll tell you what. There was one time that I was with my dad, and I was saying something about the Amish people and certain things that I saw wrong. And after just a little bit, my dad rebuked me. He said, "Jerry, they're still saved." Well, I shut up. I took that medicine. Man, sometimes how do you get on this stuff? Brother Branham was praying in this message, anointed ones at the end time, preaching 65. He said, cleanse our heart, Lord, from all filth of the world. Lord, I stand ready for cleansing. I stand ready with this church and with all listening in. And whoever will listen to this tape, I stand, Lord, asking for cleansing, Lord. Take me to the potter's house and break me up. Mold me a servant that you'd want. For Lord Jesus, I am a man of unclean lips, as Isaiah cried, dwelling with people of unclean lips. And woe is me, for I see the revelation of God being made manifest, as Isaiah saw the angels in the temple. Listen how he says this. Woe is me, for I see the revelation of God being made manifest. You know what? You say, well, they don't see all we see. Yeah, well, you got more to be accounted for. You're accountable for more. Woe is me, for I see the revelation of God being made manifest, as Isaiah saw the angels in the temple. I see the end time, Lord, and woe is me and my family. Woe is me and my people. You remember when he gives the account when he went beyond the curtain of time? You remember when the angel was talking to him and said, these are your people? And he said, well, there ain't this many Branhams. Said, no, they're not Branhams. Amen. They're not Branhams. They're people that have been led to the Lord by the message that you preached. Here he's saying, my woe is my people. Why is he saying that? He's saying it as Isaiah come and filling himself before God and saying, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people with unclean lips. And the angel took a coal from off the fire and touched Isaiah's tongue and touched his lips. Cleansed them, made them clean. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then Isaiah was able to say, hear my Lord, send me. Whew. We can say, woe is us because of what we know. But what are we doing with what God has shown us? And we come to church with all that we know. And yet, there's times we need some cleansing. Just like the prophet of God was saying here, he was saying, here I am, I'm ready for cleansing. You say, wait a minute, wasn't he already sealed by the Holy Ghost? This is 1965. Yes. You know something, friends? As Paul said, I die daily. There's times we need some cleansing. We're still in this unclean flesh. Hallelujah. And you know what? We're subject to the devil injecting unclean thoughts. Amen. They're not our thoughts, but sometimes we need some cleansing just to get that stuff out of there. Hallelujah. Woe is me and my family. Woe is me and my people. O eternal God, have mercy upon us. I plead for myself and the people. Let us not perish with those who believe not, but may we live with the believers. Listen to this now. I tell you what, I had so much more to go to, and time has just got away from us, so I'm going to have to close. But listen to this. Let us not perish with those who believe not. But may we live with the believers. Turn with me, last scripture, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I want to read two verses here. Little children, it is the last time, and as 18, verse 18, I'm sorry. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. Let us not perish with those who believe not. Let us not perish with those who went out from us, who by choice left us. I'm not, friends, listen to me. I'm not talking about people who's come to this church and left this church. If they're still continuing on in the Word of God, they're still continuing on in another church, I'm not talking about them. But if they left here, or they left anywhere, leaving this message, either to go back to the world or to go back to the tables that are full of vomit. And they went out from us because they weren't one of us. There's been many, we know, within the last year that has turned and walked away from this message. Not just people, but even preachers. They went out from us because they were not one of us. And yet we might have thought they were one of us. We might have thought, hold on. I remember, listen friends, I remember when one preacher left and when he gave his last, whatever you want to call it, address in the church before his last time before he left the message, there was one of the deacons, which I've known for many years. I mean, I hadn't been around him in quite a few years, but I knew him kind of when I was a teenager growing up. And he got up and he said this. He said, people have asked me, are you for this brother, talking about the preacher was leaving, or are you against him? He said, how could I ever be against him? Look at everything he's done for me. Look at all the things he's done for my family. Not being critical, but I believe the better thing to say is, I'm not against the man, but I'm against the spirit that he now is being influenced by. Because I'll tell you something, friends. He's saying, well, look at all things done for me. Look at all things done for my family. There'll be many in that day who will come and say, look at all the things they've done in the name of the Lord. And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Those that left it, they chose to not be part of this family. They didn't want to be part of it. That was their choice. You say, well, I love them. You know, listen. If you love them, then you're going to want them to get right with God. If you got people in your family, within your own house, that won't stand by the word of God, and God's bringing correction, and they won't heed to the correction, you say, well, they're my son, they're my daughter, they're my brother, they're my sister. If you love them with the right love, then you'd want them to get right with God. And entertaining an evil spirit that they might have, it's not going to help them get right with God. All it's going to do is help them to keep that evil spirit. It's like I've said at times in the past, if you're going to entertain that spirit, then you might as well help them pack their suitcases for hell. That's actually what you're doing. You're enabling them to stay the way they are. Now you can ask Brother David, he can tell you if what I'm telling you is right or not. But there was a time that his brother Tim told him, said, look, as long as you're going to go the way you're going, not obey God, I don't want to be around you. But that was his brother. Where's his brother sitting today? His brother's where he should be with God, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Why? Because somebody stood and said, look, you might be my brother, but this is what's right.
Amen. You're wrong.
Amen. And you were wrong. Until you want to get right, any fellowship I'm having with you is just going to be detrimental to me. It's just going to keep me upset. The only chance they got is for you to keep standing on the word. I've known other families. I know a family that told their daughter, as long as you're going to be that way, don't even come to my house. Told their own daughter that. You say, but that's her daughter. All they want to do is cause disruption, dissension in the home. All they were going to do was be a negative effect on a child. You say, I could never do that. As long as my son, John, is going to continue on the way he's going, I'd rather he stay there in Utah. I'd rather he never move back here. Because if he moves back here, then I'm going to have to deal with some things. Because you think he'd be able to keep his mouth shut, go on his way and leave the rest of the family alone? Nope. Now, he doesn't prove that. He could have kept his mouth shut, went on his trip, whichever direction he was going, and left Jack alone. But he didn't. When I was backslid, wasn't serving God, I was trying to make a decision whether to get out of the army or not, and I knew I needed to get right with God. My own daddy said, if you aren't going to get right with God, then just stay in the army and never come back here. He didn't want me coming back around the church and church people if I wasn't going to do right. Sometimes I think y'all don't believe me. Well, I ask you this. Where's James Browning's son standing today? Standing in a pulpit preaching to the bride of Christ. Boy, that was tough. Boy, that was terrible. I'll tell you one thing, it was eye-opening. I wasn't left with any delusions. Well, my brother, when he was, some of y'all might not, but he was still living at home, but he was running around. He was going out and doing things he shouldn't do. I'd done the same stuff when I was around his age. I mean, as far as doing things I shouldn't do, I might have been just a slightly little bit more sneakier than him. But Dad would come to him and say, "Samuel, do you believe this message?" Samuel would say, "Sure I do, Dad." He said, "No, you don't. If you did, you'd be living it." And Samuel would tell my dad, "Dad, don't say that. Don't say I don't believe this message." And from time to time, Dad would come back and ask him that same question. And Dad would always say the same thing. Sam would say, "Yeah, I do, Dad." He said, "No, you don't. If you believed it, you'd be following it." What was it? It was a constant reminder, eye-opening. There's a lot of folks that if they'd have been raised that way, they wouldn't be walking around here still believing that they believe the message and living the way they live and not even able to go to church, won't go to church nowhere, won't come under no pastor. Why? Because all they've been taught, "Well, sure, as long as you say you believe the message." And they've watched parents who claimed to believe the message and didn't do right. Didn't, you say, well, maybe they didn't go out and just live right in sin. No, but neither did they display the true spirit of God. Why? Because they didn't have it. I've wondered, y'all go ahead and stand so I can close. I've got more to preach, but that just happens sometimes. I've wondered, why the Lord has me preach on family so much. I've preached so many messages dealing with families and family issues and things, and I wonder why. Well, let me tell you something. People of different cultures are different in certain ways. Now, Ohio and West Virginia, they border one another. They're separated by the Ohio River. And I can tell you this because I'm from one and lived in the other. The culture in West Virginia, that's a different culture. It's different. If you wanted to get pinto beans and cornbread around here, you'd have to go to Cracker Barrel. As far as I know, we're over here to Cindy's somewhere, or I don't know, maybe up there at Sister's. But it ain't like you can just go anywhere and order cornbread and beans. I love pinto beans. Pinto beans and cornbread, boy. I love them. And a good old onion. Whew. Man, cut me up a good old onion to go along with that. Sometimes I'll just take that onion and throw it right in the beans. I don't like the onion cooked. I like it raw. And I don't want nothing in my cornbread. I want cornbread. I don't want nobody putting no peppers or anything in my cornbread. That's all right if you like it, but I just like cornbread. And I can eat it whether it's sweet or not sweet. I prefer yellow cornbread. It means it had an egg in it. I prefer that. But you know what? When I go down in West Virginia, I can go into a fast food place over there. I did before one of the evenings before I left. I went into a fast food place and got me a bowl of pinto beans and a piece of cornbread in a fast food restaurant. It's a different culture. The only place in Ohio you could ever get pinto beans, you'd have to go to Cracker Barrel. And where's the headquarters of Cracker Barrel at? Lebanon, Tennessee. That's the headquarters. Huh. So, a little bit of Southern culture got delivered up north. Now look, Northern people love their family. But they're still different about family than what they are in the South. They love their family, but in the South, there are times when you run into, there's a matriarch or a patriarch, and everybody does what they say. If their husband says something different than that patriarch or matriarch, well, I'm telling you, honey, I can't listen to you. I'm doing what they say. Wrong. There is I'm as close to family as, I'm just like y'all. Now I know we've got some here from the north and some from different places and all that. And Brother Paul, it doesn't count wherever you're from because it counts what people you're from more than what state you're from. Because you ain't like the Ohioans either. And you know what? Once you start, you know, we're a family. We're a family of God here. And we do things a certain way here in the church. We do our fellowships in a certain way. We go about things in a certain way. I know we're all part of the big family of God. But as Brother Branham says, he said the shepherd said, he's so much among the sheep, after a while he smells like them. And he says, if you'll watch, he says, after a while you'll find out the sheep are acting like the pastor. You go visit some other church, and you might be family of God with them. But you'll find each church being sovereign. You'll say, I love these people, I love visiting them, but buddy, this isn't where I belong. I belong over yonder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I gotta close. This is your real family right here. This is your real family. I don't care who you're related to. I don't care who's related to you. And I'm not saying that look, we're still trying to reach out to them. We're still trying to pull in because we don't know when that last one will come in and where that last one will be. I've always said this. There will be a last one that'll come in the Dixon Church. It might not be the very last one, but it'll be the last one that comes in here. Here's another thought for you. How do you know the last one ain't already come in? You say, but what Brother Bram said, when the last one comes in, the rapture will take place. But doesn't that last one got to be ready? Don't that last one got to be ready? We don't know. The last one might already come in. Oh, my. I'd go up and I'd visit somewhere else, go to West Virginia, or I'd go up to Ohio and visit with friends. I miss my family here. And I ain't just talking about my wife and my kids. I'm talking about y'all. I miss the church here. I love our assembly. Amen. I love the liberty and the freedom we have. Brother Burley was here on Thursday night. He told me before he left, he said, "Brother, it is always easy to preach at your church." Hallelujah. When I come back, friends, I can't wait to see the sign, "Welcome to Tennessee." I love going to visit in West Virginia, just something about them mountains, and I love seeing that sign, "Wild, wonderful West Virginia." But I can't stay there. That ain't my home. My home's back here. I was raised this way. I was raised wherever your mom and dad was, that was home. I grew up calling my Pat Ball Brown's house down there, calling that home. Because mom called that home. She said, "I want to go home." That's what she'd say when she wanted to go visit her mom and dad. "I want to go home." I grew up that way. But you know something, friends? I love my mom and dad, but I don't call that home. Because it ain't home to me. I love that church up there. I came up in the ministry up there. But that ain't my home. The people treat me real good up there and they love me, but it's not my home. My home's down here. I grew up, you'd think my daddy had been in the service, we moved around so much. I grew up, you know, thinking when I was during the Persian Gulf War, there was everyone said, "Yeah, I can't get back home," said so-and-so out of the family that wrote him and said, "All the oak trees all down the line, the main street, every one of them has got a yellow ribbon around it and a name on it of everybody from that town that was over there in war." And I said, "I've been from so many towns, there ain't going to be a one of them have a yellow ribbon for me." But I found a home now. This is my hometown. This is where I'm from. I'm not ashamed to tell people I'm from Dixon, Tennessee. I'm not ashamed to tell people I go to church in Dixon, Tennessee. Why? This is my home. I like to be able to go in somewhere and them look at me and say, "Hey, Jerry, how you doing?" I never had that. I got it now. Just little things. Friends, look. You're my family. I love y'all. I love the family dinners we have. When we all gather together. Amen. I'm sorry. I've held you way too long. And I never even got off page one. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Nathaniel, if you come. God bless you, people. God bless you. Only one. Oh, okay. Brother Phil, can you come, please?
Amen. Enjoy that. Amen. We're going to have to sing that song, "I'm So Glad I'm a Part of the Family of God." And I think that's just true. I'm so glad. I'm a part of the family of God. to be like Jesus on earth. I long to be like Him all through life's journey from earth to glory. Bless you. Just very encouraged. And it's been good to be here. Amen. Brother Paul, would you dismiss me?